I will have to admit I was having a hard time today because of last night. It just broke my heart. Not in Mount Vernon. That's somewhere else that this type of thing happens. People being killed. Oh, it was awful. I got up at 2 o'clock and it was like, prayed for the families. Tried to finish my thoughts for today. And it was like, oh, Lord, be with us. And I want to thank Amrielle for her wonderful... Amrielle, can you hear me? She's in the back there. For her little expressions of love to Jesus. That was so precious. I wanted to, you know, go along right with her in her praising God. Now, this morning, I didn't know the title was going to stay there. I had to laugh at the pastor for putting, what was it, Polka Player Joy. Well, I will have to admit, he and his wife came and heard Rita and I do a program at Ashley Gardens, and they got to watch the joy on people's faces as we played some of the old songs that they were so familiar with, and their clapping and joy. But it brings so much joy to us. Once in a while, Rita and I play a song, and it just touches a place in their heart, and a tear will come out and run down their cheek because maybe that was he and his wife's favorite song. And at that particular place, it was an Alzheimer's place. And then I look at Rita, and a little tear is coming out from the corner of her eye and running down her cheeks, and then I have to join her. And but it's part of joy. Part of joy, part of the heart. Rejoicing in the Lord is actually the last chapter that we have had this series of studies in on Steps to Christ. What a marvelous, wonderful book. Amen. And there are more books. If you do not have the book Steps to Christ, we'll get you one. There's extras in the library. But as I was going through thinking I was the last one rejoicing in the Lord, I better become acquainted with all the chapters, so I tried to read all the chapters. The longest chapter, and when I really think about it, it makes sense. The longest chapter was on repentance. Because, you know, there's joy in repentance. But there's quite a lot. There's more than just saying, Dear Father, forgive me for all my sins. They're really bad. No, he wants us to be specific, because how can we ask him to help us overcome when we're not specific? And that can be painful for us, but pain is okay. Jesus endured much, much pain when he was here on earth. I'm going to take you with the Stroud family in the year of 1983, Ron, my husband, was an only child. His mother died when she was 39. And so his grandma, the only grandchild of hers, was Ron. So our children were her only great-grandchildren. So we needed to make this trip and go clear back to Chicago. Grandma lived 91 years old, always in Chicago. She thought it was wonderful. She thought it was beautiful. Look at the buildings. And we were thinking, can't wait till we get back out in the country. But anyway, to her it was beautiful. And in making this trip, we pulled a tent trailer because we didn't have a lot of money. Pulled it to, and whenever it would be like sunset time or pretty soon to be dark, we would park our, find a campground and park our tent trailer and pull out the ends, and it had three burners in there so we could fix our own food. It was the cheapest way for us to go. And it was delightful. We had a wonderful time. But as we had gone about 3 or 4 days, we came to a town called Sturgis, South Dakota. Does anybody know what happens in Sturgis, South Dakota? You're right. Hell's Angels. Well, it wasn't really dark yet, but we decided, oh, we've really traveled quite a while, so we're going to park. So this campground was huge, and wow, we were about the only ones there. So we go, and we're at the top, and where we could look over the campgrounds, and then it happened. They all started coming, motorbikes. Oh, no. And they were coming by the hundreds and the thousands. And here we were in our tent trailer. And I said, Ron, we've got to get out of here. And he's not one that really made quick decisions. And it's like, we got to get out of here. I'm so afraid. I'm so scared. And he goes, no. And then it happened. One of our boys locked the keys in the car. So here we were surrounded by Hell's Angels. The keys were locked in the car. What are we going to do? And so one of the boss men, that's what I'm going to call him, of this group that was close to us, he saw us looking in the car and like, oh, you know, like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? So he walks over and he says, what are you doing? Says, well, one of our boys locked the keys in the car. And he goes, that's no problem for us. Do you know how long it took them to get into our car? About 2 minutes. No, probably 20 seconds. Anyway, the job was done. Can we rejoice in the middle of Hell's Angels? Yeah, we can. We can. God is with us everywhere. But I must tell you what happened the next morning. Because we had 3 burners and a lot of pancake mix packages. Those Hell's Angels got a lot of pancakes. And they were delighted. And of course, you know that when I was so scared and Ron decided, well, I should go ask him about their motorbikes. And so the two little boys followed him. We can make friends with anybody. Anybody. God has a work for us to do. I can rejoice because Deuteronomy 31:6 tells me, be strong and courageous. I didn't really feel like it so much that evening. Do not be afraid or tremble at them. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Even in a camp of thousands of Hell's Angels. I can rejoice because John 14:1-3 tells me, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The incident happened last night. Aren't we ready for that mansion? Aren't we ready just to be with Jesus? Even though there were no mansions, just to be with Jesus where there is no killings going on. Yes, and I couldn't help. I don't know the ages of any except 17 years old and being killed. Your life is just beginning. We can rejoice, but we're not going to think about that today because our topic is rejoicing. God gives us special moments to rejoice, and I thought, oh, there's so many, but there's one I just can't think of, and I mean, can't help but share, because I remember at the beginning of this series in Steps to Christ, remember John talking, the first chapter's about nature and how God is in nature and how wonderful the nature is. I know that some of the moons recently have been just gorgeous, but our family was going to Eastern Washington, and we got a late start, and so I told Ron, well, I'll drive. He goes, sure. So I'm driving along. We're almost to Ione, Washington, where my dad and his wife lived at that time, which is almost to Canada. It's a very lovely area. Everybody's asleep but me. And I just, it's kind of cool, you know, everybody's sleeping. And I'm going down this dark road by myself. And all of a sudden, I realized there was beauty all around me in this dark night. All of a sudden, I was surrounded by green lights, the northern lights. It was so beautiful. It was so beautiful. And I hurriedly went, oh, I gotta wake up, Ron. And so I'm looking at him to wake him up, and I almost ran over a bear. A bear went right in front of me. Ooh. But you know, it was a treat. It was neat to see him. It's just like, it made me all shivery and goosebumply and whatever you may say. But how special. God gives us those special, special moments. I can rejoice because Revelation 4:11 tells me, worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and because of your will they existed and were created. Yes, northern lights, bears, sunsets, gorgeous flowers, so much beauty. Now, this morning, something that was brought up in our Sabbath school class, and Jesus has given you and me an invitation to unite with him in becoming branches. Not the vine. He is the vine, and we must remember God is God, no matter what. We're the branches, we're to bear much fruit, but we cannot bear that fruit unless we're connected to the vine. And that was what was brought out. Arlene brought that out, and it's just so wonderful. I can rejoice because John 15:5 tells me, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And then John 15:2, the second part, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. Ron and I had moved to Spokane area, down by the river. Actually, it was called Nine Mile Falls. And we were on like two-thirds of an acre or something like that. And the house was older. I loved it. It was just this old California split entry. But we had a big garden. And in the back was this apple tree. It looked really old, and it was like, cut that thing down. It's ugly, and it's not going to do anything. Besides, we had this big fire thing that we kept the house warm in, Papa Bear fire. Anyway, so he said, well, I'll prune it. Well, after he pruned it, I thought, it's dead. I know it's dead because he really pruned it. You know, sometimes when we're pruned, it doesn't feel good. And it's like, I'm dead. It's like, Jesus, does that really have to happen? I know you suffered. You suffered way more than I'll ever know or realize. Maybe when I touch the nail prints in your hands, you have suffered so much. But pruning doesn't feel good. And I know I have felt pruned. But let me tell you something. The next season for that tree, we got 7 boxes of the most beautiful Jonathan apples that you ever saw. And they were good. Oh, they were so tasty. Why does Jesus want to prune us? So we bear more fruit, even though we look like we're dead. And what happens when we die to self and invite Jesus in? We can't just die to self. We invite Jesus in, and he takes over. Here comes the fruit. Last week and the week before, I had a visitor. She was burned out. So she came back with me after I'd gone down to the North Pacific Union softball tournament. And she was going to stay 2 days. She stayed 2 weeks. And we got into the Word, and I shared with her, and I could tell she was being stubborn, because that's her. But you know what? She's been to this church here 3 times. She loves our church. She's talking about moving up here, she and her husband. But they have a new grandson down there, so, you know. But I'm just telling you this. When you bear your fruit and you have loved her here, and you can't help but falling in love with Jesus through people who love Jesus. Yes. Yeah? Okay. She loves you guys. She said to me, I don't think it makes any difference what day we keep. Saturday, Sunday, and then I added Friday. Eastern religion. Yeah, we had to bring that in too. So I just let it go. And the next day, we're in the Sabbath school lesson, and she said, what is the 3 angels' messages? And it was like, oh, thank you, Lord. So we went to Revelation 14, 1 to 3, and we got into different things. And I said, you know, Ron and I were giving Bible studies, and this was 8 years into his Alzheimer's, 8, maybe 10. And this guy goes, we're going to study the Sabbath. And he comes to our house and he goes, did you know that God commands us to work on Sunday? That was what he got out. And so I told Cheryl about this. I said, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. That's written by the hand of God. Whoa! Anyway, the seed is planted. So we need to pray for Cheryl. And when you can... And rejoice when you're given these opportunities. Is everybody going to say yes to it? Maybe not. But God gives us wonderful, wonderful opportunities. Yes, he has given you and me an invitation to unite with him in becoming branches. He does not tell us to be the vine. He is the vine. I can rejoice because Jesus is my best friend. And And I know that most of you realize that my husband Ron is the very last stages. He might not even be here in a month. But Jesus has been with me in so many ways. One of those ways, let me tell you, it's just, is Melissa still here? Basket? Melissa? Okay, anyway, Rick can tell her. I teach her daughter piano. And she said, one time, she said, I want to do something for you today. And I said, oh, my grapes would love to have that, those morning glories unwound around. They're choking my grapes, but the grapes are still looking very good. She went out there and for a half an hour with scissors and jerking got all those awful morning glories. They want to choke out my grapes. And tomorrow, I'm going to make grape juice. And I thank you. It may, to her, it was probably just a little thing. It was huge. When we show love to each other, then we can show love to those out and about. And I can rejoice because God gives me friends. God gives me you, every one of you here. God has given you to me. And I love you so much. God has given us so many things to rejoice over. And I can rejoice throughout the Bible because when you read the book of Ruth, I love it. It's romantic. I have to confess, I'm a romanticist. I love the romantic story of Ruth, so I go to it often. But our sister that just passed away recently had somebody read the book of Ruth to her four times the morning that she passed away that afternoon. And her daughter said to me, Auntie, why did she have that book read over and over to her? And it was like, think about it. The whole book is about Jesus. Our Redeemer, He redeems us, the whole book. That's romantic. What Jesus does for us. And I found in Isaiah 54:5, where Jesus said, I'll even be a husband to you. I thought, how wonderful. When you're going through that loss and the promise that Jesus gives us. And I see Psalms 139 up there. And since it's there, and I've lost it here, but that's okay. I love Jesus because, and I rejoice because He knows me. And there's some things that's like, ooh, I wish He didn't know about that about me. But it said, He says, you have searched me and know me. When I sit and rise, you are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Yes, He is intimately acquainted with all of our ways. All of our ways. He knows what makes you cry, and He knows what makes you laugh for joy. And that's wonderful. I rejoice in the Lord for music that touches my heart. And I hear my dad's favorite song, and the tears roll down my cheeks. What a fellowship, what a joy divine. Leaning on the everlasting arms. It gives me joy. I rejoice because Jesus is my sanctuary. You know, there's animals sanctuary, and you, when you look at those animals, there's a different look on their face because they know they are safe. They know they can't be hunted. And when my friend, her husband came the last 3 days, we went out to Washington Park where there's always those deer, and they come up to your window. So I rolled down my window and I gave them a sesame honey cracker, and they were like, whoa, it was eaten out of my hand. And they thought that was, and they took a movie of it on their telephone. But it's just such a joy, the sanctuaries that Jesus, and you know, when you study the sanctuary, Jesus is everything. He's the light. He's the bread. His character is the Ten Commandments that are in the most holy place. The Bible is all about Jesus, and we can rejoice in that. He is such a wonderful, wonderful God, and we need to remember that. And there's things I could just go on and mention. I'm thinking of, I can rejoice because our mother insisted we attend the school of the prophets, is what I wrote down. But Mom stayed in a very rundown place to put Rita and I in academy. I still have one of the checks that she wrote to Mount Ellis Academy for our stay in church school. And I praise her for that. And there's angels. But you know, the biggest, biggest thank you that I can rejoice in is that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves you. 2 Corinthians 5:15, and he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. And this is one of my favorite Bible verses, is 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. This love is so vast, so huge, I cannot even imagine it. But I must cling to it until Jesus comes. And then there's Romans 5:8. Oh, Romans, there's so much in Romans that talk about God's love for us. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What love, what love, what love. John 3:14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes will in him have eternal life. And that's John 3:15, right before the most known Bible verse in the Bible. Let's say that one all together. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yes, Jesus became that awful, biting snake. He became sin for me so that I could become his righteousness. When we lived in Southern California, not far from us was a beautiful valley that you could walk up. Since then, they've made it into a golf course. But Ron and I would walk up there, and we always took golf clubs without the club for just a walking stick. But we saw a lot of rattlesnakes, and Ron loved to go under the rattlesnake and hold it up, and then we'd count the rattlers. And they were long ones. So we would invite people to go for walks with us after church. And then we would hear this little voice saying, do you really think you want to go with them? If you do, you're going to find a rattlesnake. And so we had that reputation. But so there was a lot of people with us once, probably 8 people. And we were just walking along. It's like, oh, the Lord's just going to show us lizards today and roadrunners. And those are animals I'd never seen until we lived in Southern California. And all of a sudden, Ron started running. And the principal, who he and his wife walked with us a lot, they both started running. And sure enough, there it was. Long, long rattlesnake. Really long. So we counted. It's rattlers. You know, 8, 9, I can't remember how many. But if they strike you, you can be hurt very badly. they aren't a nice thing. Jesus was held up as a serpent. And I used to think as a kid, why would they do that? Doesn't that represent Satan and sin? And why was did Jesus became sin for us? That's hard to wrap your mind around. So that we could become his righteousness. Can we rejoice in that? Yes, absolutely. And then Jesus says, I love you so much, Arlene, Don, Carmen, Don, Sheila, all of you, that I have engraved you on the palm of my hand. You know, how do we know that what happened last night might not happen to one of us? Our youngest son, Randy, thought Jesus was going to come in 1994. And he says, oh, but Mom, I'm afraid of persecution. I don't know if I can do that. And I think it's Matthew 10:28 or 28:10. I can't quite remember. But there's a verse there somewhere, and you may have to look a little more in case I forgot where it really was found. It says, don't worry about those that can kill your body, but worry about those that can kill your body and your soul, that could take Jesus from you. We have eternity, and I can rejoice in it, but I can't even fathom it. Jesus loves us so much. We are engraved on the palm of his hands, and those hands were stretched out on a cross for you and for me. Praise the Lord. I have purchased at the dollar store some books, little books, and I want you today to start. Sheila and Todd, and pass these out. I want you to write things to rejoice about every day. And as they pass these out, now I must tell you that what Todd has is probably more for the guys, because it has a football. Save the one with a football for Roger. Because, you know, he'll be thinking of the Seahawks, I'm thinking. So in these books, I want you to every day write something you're thankful about. And if you're a writer, you can write little stories about what's happened in your day. Or if you're not one to write words, I mean write little paragraphs or stories, just write a word. Food. Smiles. Whatever. But let me tell you what happened. When there is a teacher at an academy, he brought books every to his kids in his Bible class. Well, his Bible class was first thing in the morning, so the kids kind of came in, they were kind of groggy and kind of grumpy and maybe not so happy, and so he did this for them. He said, I want you to write every day something to be thankful for, something to rejoice about, something that's happened to you, something you can be happy about. Maybe somebody fixed your favorite food. And so they did. They did it a whole year. But guess what? In about 6 weeks, there wasn't as much grumpiness in the classroom, even though it was the first class in the morning. They came in with smiles, because what were they doing? They were rejoicing. They were rejoicing. Well, years went by. The teacher retired, and then he started getting letters. Dear teacher, you don't realize this, but the year you had us you had me personally writing down every day something to be thankful for, it changed my life. And then another letter would come like, you did it. You showed Jesus to me. And this morning, we can rejoice. Why can we rejoice? Jesus is our best friend. We can rejoice because we are inscribed in the palm of Jesus' hands. Shall we pray? Dear Father, we love you. We can hardly wait to see you, to touch the scars and the palms of your hands, to put our crowns at your feet because you are the one who did it, who gave us eternal life. Dear Father, there will be no more sickness there, and we are rejoicing in that. No more sin to bug us. The sin in our own lives bug us so much, but we have a Savior. We have a Savior that became sin for us, and we thank you so much. This morning, I would like to ask for the Holy Spirit to be with the families that have this terrible loss from last night. They need your arms around them. Please, through this, help some people to find Jesus. So hard what happens here on earth. We love you. We thank you that you are our shepherd, that you are everything to us, wonderful counselor, that you're there from Genesis to Revelation. Thank you for being our God. Amen.